But we begin in Asia. The situation in Hong Kong right now may signal that one group in China is willing to step up and demand greater democracy. Student protesters in Hong Kong and police in Hong Kong have entered a third day of unrest. Police fired tear gas and pepper spray on protesters to break up a three-day sit-in by students. Today, the Hong Kong government announced the cancellation of an annual fireworks show marking China National Day, set to take place on Wednesday. Thousands of residents have been taking to the streets. Students have been boycotting classes, demanding that Beijing make good on the promise of open elections and the granting of direct elections for the territory's chief executive. That's the head of the quasi-autonomous Hong Kong government. David Pilling, Financial Times Asia editor and author of Beyond Adversity, Japan and the Art of Survival, says the stakes couldn't be higher here.
The dispute is about universal suffrage and the definition of universal suffrage. Beijing promised universal suffrage to Hong Kong for the 2017 elections of its chief executive, which is basically the equivalent of its mayor, under the one country, two systems formula that was agreed with Britain many years ago when Britain handed back Hong Kong. Beijing has stuck sort of to the letter of the law. But students and many people in Hong Kong, not all I should stress, but many people in Hong Kong want more. They want something that looks more like genuine democracy. But what they've been offered is really two or three candidates who have been pre-screened by people very close to Beijing, whom they will then be able to vote for. And what they're saying is, this isn't enough.
That's David Pilling of the Financial Times. He's Asia editor in Hong Kong. Pilling says this week will be crucial, as some dates will signal the strength of this entire protest movement.
We're coming up to a very important anniversary, October the 1st, which is National Day, the day that the Communist Party took over in China in 1949, 65 years ago. It seems as though the demonstrators will try to hold on until then. And this gives a very difficult dilemma to the chief executive, CY Leung, of Hong Kong, because he doesn't know how to clear these demonstrators out. And it might be quite embarrassing if there are tens of thousands of people occupying, you know, one of the biggest Chinese cities against, in a sense, the government in Beijing on a day when China is meant to be celebrating the Communist Party, and the whole situation could get out of control, and the reputation of Hong Kong as a stable financial center could take a severe blow.
David Pilling is Financial Times Asia editor and author of Beyond Adversity, Japan and the Art of Survival. Benny Tai is one of the leaders of the pro-democracy activist group Occupy Central. He's also a law professor at the University of Hong Kong. He told us that if the Beijing government thinks his movement will just go away, Tai says Chinese authorities are in for a surprise.
The Beijing government has promised that Hong Kong people will be able to elect our chief executive in 2017. By an election system that can set aside the requirements of universal suffrage. But now the decision of the highest authority in China, the Standing Committee of the National People's Congress, actually kind of give us a kind of universal suffrage. That is not really a genuine form of universal suffrage. It's more like a kind of Iranian form of election that all the candidates will be screened and by the Beijing authorities before they can be chosen by the Hong Kong people. So that's just what we cannot accept. And so the protest that we are now organizing is to demonstrate our objection to such a kind of decision.
Now, Beijing's argument here would be, what's the difference between the Communist People's Party selecting candidates and a similar party in Hong Kong basically nominating candidates? The people on the street have no more or less access to the candidates in this Beijing argument.
Well, but actually, we put forward a proposal to the SAR government, the Hong Kong government, allowing not just the political parties, but also the citizens can jointly nominate a candidate. I think that will give the people of Hong Kong the full political right, not just the right to vote, but also the right to nominate and the right to stand for election. I think that will be the kind of election that can satisfy the international standard on universal suffrage.
Benny Tai, do you think the Beijing government would just as soon have you turn down the 2017 plan because that would allow them to continue with the selection of the chief executive?
So Turning it down, I think, is important because by vetoing that proposal, any government or any chief executive elected in 2017 would not have the kind of legitimacy one could get from a one-person, one-vote system. So at least we can continue to kind of organize actions, oppositions against such a government, hoping that in the future we can get a more support and we can get a true universal suffrage.
What do you think are the advantages that Beijing accrues from having a kind of special status for Hong Kong? Does Beijing get benefits from the fact that Hong Kong is different from the other territories?
Well, up to this point, I think Hong Kong is still playing an important role in the economic development of China and is the international financial center. And so it's still no other places in China can replace Hong Kong. And also from the perspective of political development, China is also facing a lot of governance problems. And so up to a certain point, China will have to find ways to deal with the legitimacy of its own governance. Then political reform, including electoral reform, may be needed. And so Hong Kong would be a place where China can have a pilot test of such electoral reforms. So I think Hong Kong will play a very important role in both the economic and political development of China in the future. So keeping Hong Kong special, I think, is important to China.
Beijing just jailed with a sentence of life in prison Ilham Tohti, who's a separatist Uyghur leader in Xinjiang province. He was accused of something called splitism. Mm. Is the issue of splitism something that is relevant in Hong Kong? Is there a concern about the limits of political autonomy in Hong Kong in light of what happened to the Uyghurs?
I think in Hong Kong, that is not a very strong, or I think even say that there is no such separatist movement in Hong Kong. We are just a democratic movement wanting a democratic and a fair election system. And also Hong Kong people, I think they understand the importance of the relationship with the mainland. So even though we may, on some issues, disagree with the central government, the Beijing authorities, but most of the Hong Kong people will not support any such as separatist or split some kind of action.
Benny Tai is associate professor of law at the University of Hong Kong and co-founder of the activist group he was speaking about, Occupy Central. Benny, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.